Chapter 12. Carter.
You look like you're heading to an interview. Art not paying enough these days? You need a little boost?
I shake my head at the old man in the rocking chair that blocks a third of the sidewalk every time he rolls back in it. The paint's giving me a roof and food, Grandpa. I hold open one side of my sport coat as if showing off my fancy clothes. I am going to a play at the community theater tonight. Two men sit in ladder-backed chairs on either side of a table near the rocking chair. Their heads are bent over a checkers game. One of them looks up and gives me a nod.
Good show. Got the Bracket Kid directing it.
The Bracket Kid used to babysit me when I was little and has four children of her own now, but I don't correct him.
You taking a lady friend?
Grandpa lifts his chin and narrows his eyes as if trying to read my mind. It's a skill I'd been totally convinced he had when I was five and trying to pretend I hadn't snuck a cookie from the cooling rack. As an adult, I realize that he is just an exceptionally observant man. Fortunately, the store he and his retired friends like to hang out in front of does not have a view of the diner or the theater, because I do not want to explain to my grandfather or anyone else what my relationship with Emma is. Mostly because I haven't the faintest idea. I'm going with a work colleague. Grandpa snorts.
Work colleague? You sit around your living room poking at canvas boards all day. How do you have a colleague?
I laugh because Grandpa was my biggest supporter when I declared an intention to pursue art. For years, he sent me $50 a week to make sure I was getting enough to eat. He only stopped 4 years ago when I revealed I'd been saving the money for a while and used it to send him and Grandma on a Mediterranean cruise. I don't know if he finally believes I'm successful or is terrified I'll make him get on another international plane flight. She's working with the museum. Grandpa's eyes light up, and he hits his friend on the arm, making Neil send two checkers flying.
Hear that? It is a lady friend.
I pick up the checkers and hand them back to Neil. We're not dating. Grandpa frowns.
Why not?
The answer should be because I don't think of her that way, but I can't quite bring myself to say that. Is it a big step from intrigued to infatuated? Do I want it to be? I'm just helping her with a project.
That's how I met my Cecily.
Carl points at me before sliding a checker across the board. Neil snorts.
She got a flat tire.
Carl pats himself on the chest.
And I stopped to change it for her.
I shake my head as I tell the men goodbye and keep walking. It's been a long time since I strolled through the center of Appleton. When I make the 45-minute drive these days, I usually go straight to my grandparents' house. As a teenager, though, I spent hours in the tiny downtown. As I make my way back to the diner and where I parked my car, I take a break from memory lane and peek at my watch. Still half an hour until I'm due to meet Emma. Is she the type to arrive early? I hope she isn't late. The show starts at 7. With nothing to do and too many thoughts in my head, I enter the diner, asking for a booth in the back corner. The server brings me a glass of iced tea, and while I settle in to wait for Emma, I pull my sketchbook out of my leather satchel. I started this book 3 months before I met Emma and had laboriously managed to create 12 sketches. Since meeting her, I've added 32, plus a scattering of doodles in various corners. Those earlier efforts are quickly flipped past as I move to the newer ones. Several of them aren't anywhere near complete. Over the years, I've learned how to spot an idea that won't quite translate to canvas and abandon it. The ones that are fleshed out, though, make my heart pound. None of the subjects look like Emma, but they all feel like her. contradictions. A hidden story beneath the surface that I want to slowly uncover. What is it about her that makes me think I'm missing something? It's like I'm looking at her through a warped funhouse mirror. Is it because she works for a tech company? Because she didn't pretend to like the art? Maybe it's the way she never seems quite comfortable in her clothes, even though they're high-end and fit her perfectly. I flip through the sketches, trying to decide which ones to paint in my first set. The questions continue to swarm with every picture until a tight, aching buzz forms at the base of my skull. At 5:30, I put the sketchbook away and watch the door. When she walks in 5 minutes later, I want to pull the book back out or maybe just take a picture of the moment. I don't normally paint real scenes from photographs, but the one before me is too incongruous to pass up. I wave, and she gives me a small smile before making her way through the diner. Green, flowy trouser legs made from a satiny, shiny material brush against the metal legs of the simple diner chairs she passes. They're a little fancier than this location would normally dictate, but I expected nothing less based on the other clothes I've seen her wear. What baffles me, though, is the chunky, cable-knit black cardigan she has wrapped around her torso. It's a little large for her, and the sleeves have been rolled at the cuff. The sides form a V as they join at the first button, and a sliver of the same green fabric as the pants is visible. The sweater hangs in a straight box to the top of her thighs. Aside from the fact that I'm not sure a blind man would put those two items of clothing together, it's nearly 80 degrees outside. Even with the air conditioning on in the diner, I was considering shedding my sport coat.
Hi.
She comes to a stop next to the booth. I push aside my bafflement and scramble to my feet. You made it. Good. Once she's settled into one side of the booth, I slide onto the other bench. With the pants out of view, she should present a single look now, but she doesn't. Her makeup is delicate perfection, but her hair is twisted up into one of those giant clips that make the strands spout off one side of her head. She pulls a menu from the rack on the side of the table.
Have you been here before? Do you have a recommendation?
Yes. I pull a menu for myself, even though my order is always one of three things. Most anything is good, but I would stay away from the burgers. Her eyebrows angle up as her mouth quirks into a small grin.
Not good, huh?
They're basically a slice of meatloaf that's been seared in a frying pan.
Oh.
She looks down at the menu.
That actually sounds good.
You'd think. It's dry as dust, though.
Ah.
We lapse into silence until the server comes by and takes our orders. Pork chop and assorted vegetables for me, chicken and dumplings for her.
So?
She tries to push the sleeves of her sweater up, but there's too much fabric and they fall back to her wrists.
How do you plan to teach me art appreciation? I think that was a class in college.
I roll my eyes. Likely a series of paintings on slides you had to memorize and regurgitate for a test. She shrugs.
Probably. My university wasn't really known for the arts.
Fortunately for you, mine was.
Right. Yes.
She lists off a few statistics about my alma mater and then shyly ducks her head.
Sorry, I looked you up online.
Then you have me at a disadvantage because, unless I miss my guess, you don't have a Wikipedia page. I still remember the first time a friend showed me that page. It was completely disconcerting to see people I didn't know working to collect information about me in a single space.
That would be a no.
Her laugh this time is more genuine than nervous. I like it.
I have an Instagram page, but I don't post on it very much, and it's private, so you wouldn't have been able to see it anyway.
If you had a Wikipedia page, what would be on it? Her nose wrinkles in thought, and she idly stirs her water with her straw.
All the boring stuff, I suppose.
She launches into a recitation of facts such as where she went to high school and college, how she started working part-time during her senior year, and that she drives a hybrid car. It's what slips out in between the facts that pulls me in, though. She works for her best friend and did the part-time job as a trial run because she didn't want to risk the friendship if they couldn't work together. Right after college, she adopted a hamster and named it Gigabyte, but she was so devastated when it died that she's never gotten another pet, not even a fish. The mentions of her family are fleeting and always accompanied by an odd expression I can't pin down.
And that's pretty much me. No who-to-watch lists or anything like that.
The server brings our plates out, and I sit back as she arranges them on the table. Emma smiles at the young girl.
Thanks.
After a few moments of shifting flatware and repositioning our drink cups, I return my attention to the woman across the table. She's shoving at her sleeves again, and two spots of pink are brightening her cheeks. Why on earth is she still wearing that sweater? Seeing as very few people make who-to-watch lists, and yet many still lead interesting lives, I don't think they make a good yardstick for the merit of someone's story. She tilts her head as she chews, considering me as she swallows and then takes a drink of water.
I suppose not.
She shrugs.
All those facts don't really matter, though, do they?
On the contrary, art is a relationship. What you bring to the viewing is as important as what the artist brings to the creation.
And yet, no one is paying me $10,000 to look at it.
True. After dinner, we'll be crossing the square and attending a show at the community theater. She shifts in her seat and pokes a fork at me.
Did you know that the most expensive Broadway show ever produced was quite the failure?
I pause with my fork partway stabbed into a piece of broccoli. I thought she didn't like art. It was?
Yep. Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. Ever heard of it?
No. Why, has she? How do you know that?
From a podcast.
I was once a guest on an art podcast. Trying to describe brushwork without any visual aid was so frustrating. I've never done another one. I'd meant to use this time to prep her for how to watch the play and appreciate the simplicity of no fancy special effects or slick sets. Instead, the conversation flows from one topic to another until our plates are being cleared and it's time to leave the diner. When was the last time I was this comfortable on a date? And not that this is a date. Not once in the planning or consideration of the evening did I consider it a date. I deliberately considered it not a date. I blink and shake my head, reminding myself of the pounding pain that's been lurking just underneath my consciousness. I rub my hand across my neck and the back of my head.
You've been doing that a lot.
I look over at Emma as she picks up her purse from the bench seat and sets it on the table. I have? She nods.
Headache or habit?
Headache. As she opens her purse, she nods again. Her eyes meet mine, and she gives me a lopsided smile.
There's no reason for both of us to have a miserable evening.
She pulls a small square out of her purse and passes it across the table.
Here.
I take it, look at it, and forget all about the pain in my head. In fact, I forget everything I know because I haven't the faintest idea what to do now. The woman has just handed me a condom. I'm not sure what you thought when I asked you. I may have fleetingly compared this evening to a date, but I didn't expect her to assume it was one. Even if this was a date, we're in the middle of a diner. Not to mention, this doesn't particularly fit with what I thought I knew about Emma, and definitely doesn't fit with what I would expect on a date. Her brows pull together in confusion, and her gaze drops to my hand. I've read in books where it says people lose all the color in their face, And of course, there are paintings where people's skin has gone pale enough to be practically see-through, but I've never witnessed the phenomenon in real life. There is no question about it, though. Emma Trinket has gone completely white. I can't even see the faint trace of veins in her temple.
"I'm gonna kill her,"
she whispers, before she snatches the packet from my hand and shoves it into the pocket of her cardigan. She then jerks as if it burned her, yanks the square from the pocket, and shoves it into the purse. After a bit of rummaging around, she pulls out another square foil packet, but this one contains the familiar logo of a pain medication company. Silently, she places it on the table and pushes it across with one finger. I take the packet and swallow the pills one by one, taking extra care with each because the show across the booth from me right now is better than the play could ever be. In what seems to be the purest, most genuine moment I've spent with Emma, she has dropped her head to the seat back and is muttering about her sister while flapping the front of the cardigan so that air whooshes across her face. I set my glass aside and her head pops up. The bright pink overheated splotches have returned, and her eyes are wide enough to see edges of white all the way around her blue irises.
"I'm so sorry."
Do I say it's okay? Mumble, "No problem"? Apparently, she doesn't need me to say anything because she keeps talking.
"It's not mine."
Is that supposed to make it better?
"My sister thinks I need to date more."
I cough. It's a unique approach that would certainly land a lot of guys, but I'm not one of them. She folds her arms on the table and drops her head on top of them. Clearly, she is far more traumatized by this moment than I am. I've turned down propositions before, and other than finding them uncomfortably distasteful in the moment, I don't give them much thought. Somehow, I don't feel like I've actually been offered what was implied just now. "Emma?"
"There's food."
Is she crying? Did I hear her mumbled words correctly? "What?" She raises her head and presses her fingers to her eyes. There are no tears running down her face, but it doesn't look like it would take much to make it happen.
"There's food and surprise plans and something about cars, and she thinks that means this is a date."
"She being your sister?"
"Yes."
More fluffing of the cardigan.
"Is it hot in here?"
Only if you were wearing the equivalent of 3 sheared sheep. More color hits her cheeks as she groans.
"I don't suppose it could actually get worse."
I haven't the faintest idea what she means until she undoes the buttons and pulls the cardigan off with a deep sigh of relief. I don't know if it's a vulnerability caused by the ridiculousness of the moment or the connection made from an hour of easy conversation, but whatever the cause, I'm very glad I'm sitting down. Because Emma Trinket is absolutely stunning.